Good evening. I want to tell you my life story. I was originally named Simon. Nobody ever called me Simon, but that was my childhood name. I was born 1 year before Christ. I had a wife. I lived in Bethsaida, and I worked in Galilee. Early on in my life, I had never heard of Christ until one day John the Baptist came to our town. Now, John the Baptist to us was a very strange man. When we first saw him, we thought, this guy looks crazy. We didn't know what to think about him. He wore a camel skin coat and a leather belt. And every time he stopped for lunch, he was always eating grasshoppers and honey. And we thought, who is this guy? We thought he was crazy. But let me tell you, his message was very clear and direct. And he pointed to the Christ. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And he was baptizing us as we put our trust in Christ. So I always wondered who this person was. I believed in him, but I had never met him. And let me tell you about the day that I had met him. It was a unique day. Now, I was a fisherman myself, and my brother, Andrew, both of us worked, and we fished in Galilee, and on the Sea of Galilee. And being a fisherman back then was a very rough job to have. A lot of people died in that profession. So it was a very rough crew of uneducated people. And you could be out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It could be calm 1 minute. The next minute, a great storm would whip up, and large waves could come and capsize, even a large vessel, and you'd never see those people again. It was a very dangerous profession. And many of the men that took on that profession were a hard group that couldn't find work anywhere else. It was a very tough group, and a lot of them talked with very vulgar language, and they had bad tempers, and a lot of them were very angry. And this was the group that I was a part of, and this was my profession. And this is the one thing that I knew that paid the bills. My brother Andrew and I would go out catching fish. And one day, as we were by the seashore, we're mending our fish nets. We look up, and there was the Christ that everyone talked about walking towards us. And he stopped, and he talked to us, and he was asking us about fishing. And we were telling him about fishing. And he said to us, "Why don't you leave all that life behind, and instead of fishing for fish, why don't you come with me and I'll teach you how to fish for men?" This was a very strange thing to say to us, but somehow I knew in my heart that I needed to do what he said. So I surrendered that day. I gave up my old life, all the things that I used to do to pay the bills, all my friends, the whole thing, to follow this Jesus. I didn't know much about him, but I knew that he had the truth. And so I said, "I'll give up everything to follow him." Some people thought I was crazy for doing this. My wife thought I was a little crazy too, but I will tell you, I knew it was the right thing, and I don't doubt that I did the right thing. So my brother Andrew and I were the very first ones to give up everything, and we were some of the first two disciples. Now, there were more disciples. Christ went and talked to some others, and before long, there were 12 of us. Of all the disciples, though, I was kind of the leader. People looked up to me. I was very confident in myself. I never lacked wondering if I could succeed. I was quick to act, quick to speak, quick to think. Unfortunately, though, I was very self-dependent. I relied on the flesh. I was a very proud man, and I had a lot to prove to others. I thought that I was something special, and I thought the Lord is lucky to have me because I am doing such a good job serving him. Well, one day Christ came to me and said something that was very humbling. He said to me, "Simon, I'm going to name you Peter." The word Peter comes from the word Petra, meaning stone. He says, "Someday you'll be that rock." Someday. Someday. I thought I was the rock. I thought I was doing pretty well. But that's not how Christ saw me. It was a very humiliating moment to have him say in front of all my friends that I wasn't a rock. So my name changed from Simon to Peter. And that's what I'm known for today, is being named Peter. Now, we as disciples, we would follow Christ here and there, and we would see things that were miraculous, and he would say things that were miraculous and just amazing, and we just didn't quite get what he was trying to communicate to us. We were a little hard-headed about things. We saw him perform all kinds of miracles, and it didn't dawn on us this was the Son of God. Oftentimes we were confused, and we didn't quite get what he was trying to do. We only saw things on the human level. We didn't see what was happening spiritually. We were really blind to spiritual truth. Let me give you an example of a miracle that Christ performed that I totally missed. We were out. It was late at night. We were on the Sea of Galilee in our boats. It was dark. And we're sitting there. Some of us were napping. Some of us were just sitting propped up, looking out over the waves as they washed in. Until someone looked out in the distance and they saw some kind of an upright figure. And they said, "Did I see something?" And we say, "This isn't one of your fish stories, is it?" "No, no, I think I really see something in the distance there." And we looked again, and sure enough, we saw something miraculous. In the distance, we saw a dark, shadowy figure walking across the waves, not falling in, not drowning like other men, but with the ability just to walk on top of the waves. And as it got closer, we were frightened. We thought this might be some kind of a ghost. As we looked once again, we strained our eyes in the darkness. We saw there was Christ calling to us. We thought, "This is the one. This is Christ." We thought, "How miraculous." And I thought, and I just yelled out, "I'll join you, Christ." I thought, if he can do it, I can do it, right? And Christ said, "Come on." And so I said, "Oh, my big chance to walk on the water with him." And so I stepped out of the boat, and all the other disciples looked at me. But hey, I'm Peter, so I'm not afraid of anything. So I stepped out of the boat, and I began to walk towards Christ on that water. And he began to call me, and I looked forward to him. And I thought, wow, I am really doing a miracle myself. This is amazing. How great this is. And before long, I began to sink, and I began to panic. And I know I have friends who died on this sea. And I began to flail my arms. And when this happened, Christ reached out to me, and he pulled me up. And he said, "Next time, keep your focus on me." Oh, that was a humbling moment. I got back in the boat. I was wet. I was discouraged. But the Lord was trying to teach me something that day. It's not me that could do it. It was him. But I was so blind. I thought I could do it. You know, we walked with Christ every day. And we had a chance to sit at his feet and to see him perform miracles. Multiplying loaves and fishes and saying how God could supply everything. We thought, this is amazing. And we saw him heal people that were sick and diseased. We saw him forgive people of their sins. We didn't even know what we were seeing. Every day was something new and amazing, but we didn't know how to quite process it all. It was overwhelming to us. We knew that the Pharisees hated him. Now, many times we would be with Christ and he would see the Pharisees, and I thought the Pharisees had a lot of good things. They did a lot of great things, and people looked up to him. But Christ had no end of things to say to them that just made them very angry. He said, "You are a bunch of hypocrites. You perform outwardly, and your heart is very far from me." He said, "You guys are like a bunch of snakes." Wow, of all the things to say, we said, "Did you have to say that, really?" But he would say that to them. He said, "You are hypocrites, and you are phony, and you are frauds." We thought, you can't keep talking like this. This is not going to end well. We better say nice things to these people. They're very powerful. We never occurred to us that one day these people would be the ones that killed Christ. We would see Christ do things like little kids would come up to him. We'd say, "What are you doing? People admire you, and you're hanging out with those kids? Some of those kids have runny noses. You don't hang out with them." And he would just say to us, "It's such as the kingdom of heaven." We thought, what? This doesn't make sense. This isn't very dignified. Many things that Christ did, we could not figure out. A lot of people had a lot of things to say about him. Some said he was a prophet. Some said that perhaps he was someone from the Old Testament, Elijah. And one day, Christ sat us all down. We had a chance to spend time with him. We had a chance to see all of his ministry. And we should have known by then what was going on. And he said to us, "You know, what do people say that I am?" And we said, "This person says this, and that person says this, and Rabbi this says that." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" Well, it never occurred to us. What do we really think about this? And I said, "Well, of course, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, the Son of God." And he was so glad to hear that. And he said, "That's correct." He said, "Upon that, I will build my church." Upon that truth, that he is the Son of God. Now, there are people in the news today that think that Christ built the church on me. and that's foolishness. I was a mess. And God used me, but I was not the first pope. I'll just tell you that right out front. It was Christ. Christ is the center stone of the church. It's built on Him. It's not built on a man. So I was the first one to recognize His true divinity. We spent time with Christ, and then the day came when He told us, the day will come, well, I will have to pass away. I will be away from you. And we said, no, this can't stop. We have something here, and we depended upon Him, and we looked to Him. When we were troubled, He would comfort us, and He would provide miracles to feed us, and He brought healing, and we thought, this has to keep going. This is the work of the Lord. And we hoped for that Messiah to come, as the Jews did, the Messiah that would bring justice, that would defeat the Roman impression, and would once again make us the nation that we thought we should be. And so the fact that He would leave us somehow, we thought, this is foolishness. This can't be. So whenever He would bring up His death, we would say, no, that's not right. And we would try to talk. We'd say, this is foolishness. Don't do this. And we would try to talk Him out of it, but He kept telling us, it's going to come a day when I won't be with you. Another will come. We thought, what? Another who? We didn't understand what He was talking about. It was all so confusing. And we didn't know what to think. Finally, the night of the Passover came. We were up in the upper room eating together. And He said that there'll be one in the room that would betray Him. I looked around the room, and I thought we were all pretty good. I thought, who would betray Him? And eventually it was brought out that Judas Iscariot would betray Him. He thought, Judas? Are you sure? The money guy? I think he's pretty reliable. I'm not sure about this. And so He left the room. And Christ looked to me, and He said to me, Peter, or stone, He said to me, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. When the cock crows, you'll have denied me 3 times. And I said, no, that is wrong. I won't listen to you talk like that. When everyone else forsakes you, I will be with you to the end. You can count on me. I trust myself, and I can do it in the flesh. And I thought I had all the answers. And I really believed in myself. I had a lot of self-esteem. I was not very humble back then. But I said, no, that's wrong, Lord. I will be with you to the end. But it was I that was wrong, because I was very proud. And at that night came, the Lord took me and several other disciples to the Mount of Olives. And He told us, there's going to be great temptation come your way. We need to spend our time. We need to be fasting and in prayer and looking for the Lord's help. And so we went on the mountain, and we thought, what is He talking about? What's this great trial? The great trial I have is I'm tired. The Lord went away to pray, and I said, I'll handle the prayer request down here. But it wasn't a couple minutes, and we started praying a little bit. And before long, we were kind of tired, and we just had the meal and everything. And we fell asleep. And I don't know how long we were out, but I got kind of comfortable with a rock under my head. It felt kind of good. Jesus could do a lot of traveling, and it kind of wore me out. And as I was sleeping, I started dreaming deeply that I was back on the sea again, and I had caught a great catch of fish, and I was very excited. Jesus was there waking me up. You got to wake up and pray. It's just very urgent, guys. You got to be in prayer. This is your hour of trial and temptation. Trial? I don't know. I don't see any trials. The only trial I have is I'm tired. Okay, well, you know, if you say it and you are the master, then we'll do a little bit more prayer. So He left and we kind of sat up for a little bit. And anyone think of anything to pray for? We prayed for a few things. We prayed for God to deliver Israel we prayed for deliverance for a while, and you know how it goes. You start to pray for the missionaries, and you think about other missionaries, and then you think about how the missionaries get tired. And before long, we were getting tired, and we started to nod off again. And by then, though, we were fast asleep. And Christ came to us again. I don't know how long we'd slept. I have to admit, though, I did see John had a little bit of drool, so I think he slept more than I did. But Christ woke us up yet again and said, At this point, we heard noises in the distance, and it was people coming for us. And there was Judas with a band of soldiers. He came to our group, and he kissed Christ. And Christ said to him, is this how you're going to betray me? You're going to betray me with a kiss? And the soldiers came, and suddenly it clicked. They're here for Christ. They're going to take him. Christ knew what he was talking about in the upper room. This is the end. This is our hour of trial. All the things that we had hoped for, all the great seats in the kingdom that we'd worked so hard to gain, and it's going to be gone. They're going to kill this guy. It'll all be over. And I was very, very worried. And so I thought, I better do something quick. I'm losing my seat in the kingdom. So I whipped out my sword, and I whacked off the nearest soldier's ear. And he yelped in pain as his ear fell. And Christ told me, no, this isn't the time for swords. Put your sword away. And he healed the man's ear, and he put it back on his head. I thought, what are you doing? Do you have any idea? These Romans will kill you if you're not careful. And they took Christ away. And I was at that moment I realized that he was not the winning side. If I follow him, this may mean death for me. And at this point, I put my self-interest above my loyalty to Christ. I am ashamed of how I acted that night. I followed him from a distance, and I saw him there. They were to try him in a sham trial in the middle of the night with not very many people around to see what was happening. There he was being tried. I couldn't bring myself to go in to see the proceedings. I could hear the judge's voice ringing through the marble halls, and it was grating on my ears. I stood back a distance and began to back up slowly. I thought, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I wanted when I followed Christ. This isn't the glorious thing that I had hoped. And as I backed up, I bumped into a young lady, and she looked up at me, and she remembered me from when we had performed miracles. She says, I know who you are. Aren't you Peter? I said, no, that's not me. She said, you're the follower of Christ. I said, no, that's not me. And I began ashamed. I thought, they're going to connect me with Christ. As he goes down, my reputation will go with him. I couldn't have that. I had a reputation to maintain. So I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So I just began to back up again. I went a little further. I bumped into somebody else. And they said, wait a minute. We know you. You should be in there. That's the Christ that you follow. I said, that's not the Christ that I follow. There's no way that's me. That's not nothing to do with me. I was so ashamed. My face began to turn all red. I thought, I don't want to associate with Christ at this time. Following Christ is very embarrassing. I don't want any part of this. So later on, I left the group, and I began to walk slowly away. But I began to get a little bit cold, and I saw a fire in the distance, and a group of people around it. So I went to that fire and began to warm my hands. And they began to talk about the person in there. There's a rumor, I think it's the Christ in there, the one that heals everyone. We think that he's in there, and they're very upset at him. I think there's some kind of trial. As he began to talk, I got closer to the firelight. The fire was flicking up in the dark. My face became visible. And someone looked up, and they said, you're Peter, you're his disciple. I was so ashamed. All I could think to do was to curse. And I cursed God, and I cursed his name. I said, I'll have no part of this. I have nothing to do with that man. You've mistaken me. And I began to curse and to swear and to take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, I'm very ashamed of how I acted. And as I took the Lord's name in vain, suddenly something caught my ear. I heard the crow in the distance, and it sunk into me what Christ had said was true. I had denied him 3 times. I was so ashamed of myself. I ran from that area crying. I thought, there's no hope. I've denied my Savior. He would never speak to me again. He's dead. My hope is in vain, and I have betrayed him. I wasn't the only disciple that felt hopeless. A bunch of us felt hopeless. And we would get together and talk about the old days when Christ was among us. And he ministered to us and he cared for us. And we learned at his hands every day something new about God. And we had put our trust in him and he was gone. And he said that he would go away and come back, and we didn't know what it all meant. We just knew that he wasn't there then. And as we're gathering together, here we are, lonely and afraid. And a man begins to talk to us, and we realize that it's Christ. Christ came back to speak to us, and we were so excited. We thought that it was over. We thought that we had betrayed him, and we lost all hope. And we had met with him. And he said to us, the last time we saw him, he said to us, you know, there's something I want you to do for me. I have a command for you. Here it is. I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to baptize them and disciple them in my name. And I want you to teach them to do everything that I commanded you. The stuff that I taught you, you teach them. And I want you to know, you that are afraid, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Oh, we were so excited. We had a mission again. We thought, how can we do these things? This is so hard. This is so complex. He told us to wait for Him. He said He'd come back. And He did come back. But in a way we didn't think. On the day of Pentecost, we met together as Christ had commanded us. And here we were, talking about what Christ had said, worshiping Him, praising Him, when something amazing happened, something I had never seen before. Suddenly, as we sat there and we talked of Christ, the Lord's Spirit came down upon us like a great wind. A great wind just went right through our building and blew all our hair around and blew our beards. And we thought, what is this great wind? And suddenly the Spirit came upon us like small cloves of fire were upon us. And we began to witness. And we had the ability to speak in different languages and to spread God's word to all different types of people group. And when people discovered this happened and they heard the news, they came from great distance. And there was a great multitude. And the multitude was assembled. And they looked for someone to stand up and share the word of Christ. And I thought, who's going to do this? And James came to me, why don't you do it? And Andrew came to me, why don't you do it? And I thought, I don't know. I've betrayed Christ. People don't trust me. I've lost trust. But I remember the commission that Christ gave to me. It was my job to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And the Lord's Spirit came upon me. No longer was it me and my ability, my self-sufficiency, my self-confidence, my self-esteem no longer was reigning. Now it was Christ through me. The Holy Spirit's power came upon me, not in my own flesh, but by His Spirit. And by depending upon Him, I was able to stand up. And I preached the great message that day. And I preached to many different groups. And they understood the preaching of God's Word. And I said, men and brethren, we need to look to Christ for our salvation. He came among us. He lived. And He died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. And that day, 3,000 souls trusted Christ as their Savior. And we planted the very first church in Jerusalem. And a great group was assembled. The Lord used me as an apostle for many years. And I was able to spread God's message to a group of people. But as Christ predicted when I was alive with Him, He said, the day would come when men would stretch out your hand when you don't want, but put clothes on you that you don't want to wear and take you somewhere that you would want to go. That prophecy that He gave happened to me when I was 67 years old, an old man. The day came when I was to be crucified, when they would nail me to a cross. But I pleaded and begged. I knew it was my day to go. I said, I only have one last request. One more thing that I want from You before You nail me. My request is this. I'm not worthy to die the way my Savior died. With all the things that I've done, I'm so beneath His grace. My last request is this. Crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to die the way that He died. And so they did that. They made a big X and they crucified me upside down. I was not worthy to die the way Christ had died. As you look at my life, you see someone that Christ radically altered from someone who was self-sufficient, who was very accomplished, who was very proud. God had to humble me. God had to make me realize it wasn't me at all. It was Him that worked through me. Men and women who are here, children, question, do you depend upon yourself? Do you think that you're sufficient in yourself? Do you need your time in the Word of God each day? Do you think that you know the answers, or do you have to look in the Bible for the answers? Do you spend time in prayer, or do you think that things are just going to happen because of who you are? Are you open to the input and to the advice of others, or do you think that you already know everything? Do you have a reputation to protect? Do you worry about what other people say and think about you? Maybe you are self-sufficient even as I was. Let me quote for you my favorite scripture, a scripture from another apostle, the Apostle James. He says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Are you humble in your Christian life? If anyone's here and does not know Christ as their Savior, question, are you depending upon yourself for salvation? Your own good deeds, your own good works? Or are you looking to Christ, the one who can truly save? I encourage you to learn what I had to learn the hard way. Humble yourself and let the Lord exalt you. Let the Lord use you. Don't look to your own self. Don't look to your own flesh. Look to Him. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly